Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you all with us. And we have a big show today. We're going to be talking with Mr. Chris Granrud from Rainy Days Guide Service up in Lake of the Woods and Rainy Lake, that area. He's going to be telling us all about what's going on this last fall and what's coming up for ice. Don, should be good.
That's a long ways away.
Yeah, but fall fishing is on fire. Really. We're going to talk a little bit about that and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hello, Ava.
I'm here.
Yes. Wow. And accounted for? Is it you're supposed to
you know
say
what?
That too?
I think I have the best attendance record out of everybody.
Well, I would suspect
you. Because
the show
doesn't happen
without you.
Yeah, without
that's,
me.
That's a fact.
I guess that she's the middle cog in the wheel. Yeah, One of us will be gone on a trip.
Yeah.
She's the one that carries the water for us.
She kind of has to be here, doesn't she?
I don't know what you guys did when I was gone.
No. We don't want to go there.
Yeah, nope.
Yeah.
We'll leave that in the dark ages,
yes,
right?
Yep. Yeah. It's a past. Leave the past in the past.
You're not allowed to leave us anymore.
But you learn from the past. I tell you that much.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. And speaking of learning, Don, you know what I've learned?
That's pretty hard to say.
It could be just about anything because I'm
knew
not
every,
a smart
I
man.
I thought you knew everything.
Oh, so far the opposite. I did learn that fall fishing and cooler temperatures brings better bites. That much I do know.
You've known that for your whole life. What are you talking about?
I know, but it you kind of have doubts with the summer. It's been rather difficult in the river, and summer's bad. Just tough.
Well, the first question I'm going to have is how deep's the river? How low is it?
How low?
Yeah.
It's come up about 2.5 feet, so we're at about...
Are you above the wing dams?
4.0. Wing dams are just at the surface, at least the ones up at the dam. But the flow is decent. You can find a good current seam. The fish are moving up. The cold temperatures, that rain that we had a couple weeks ago, or about a week, just over a week ago, wasn't it?
Yeah,
over a week ago. Those helped a lot. And clarity is good. So it's pretty solid.
So the fish are cooperating.
Yeah, one of the things I thought that was different, I'm a plastics guy. I love ringworms. That's my gig. And we could pull some fish with Dubuque rigs. And if you're not familiar with the Dubuque rig, it's a heavy jig, let's say 5/8 ounce jig on the bottom. It goes up to about 15 inches of fluorocarbon or whatever, at least
to a three-way.
Fluorocarbon up to a three-way. And then off the three-way, a line that goes back. You can use an Aberdeen hook. I like to use a slow death hook because it actually puts a weird roll onto that. I use a chartreuse or a firecracker ringworm. And a firecracker is kind of a multicolor red, silver, blue kind of thing with a twister tail or a paddle tail. And pulling upstream, we could do quite well, no live bait. And you put on the bottom jig, you put another plastic body. But I'll be darned if I was vertical jigging and I wasn't catching at the same rate as I was. I did a one-on-one. I did a minnow on one side with a jig, thread the minnow up through, in the mouth, out the gill, and turn it around and come back over the top so they don't peel the minnow off without really getting the hook.
Right.
And then plastic on the other, on the same color that was effective on the Dubuque rig. And surprisingly enough, this is rare, but in the vertical jigging situation, I was able to catch pretty much a lot more fish than I was with the plastic.
Interesting.
And all week, a lot of good guys, anglers that I know, had commented the same thing. And it didn't matter how big the minnow was. Last week we went out, and I had, I'm telling you right now, I had crappie minnows because that's all we had left. And they were still crushing it, even though it was the tiniest minnow you could. I never believed I'd catch anything on that. I thought, this is not going to work. And they would hit it, but they had to have that on there. Now, the other thing was they were not hitting it hard. They were not crushing it. So you have to have good touch. And the other thing that made a difference, we went with three other guys, and two of the one of the other guys that
so,
I was with.
So with the minnow, you were not using the Dubuque rig. You're just jigging a minnow.
Jigging a minnow.
Okay, gotcha.
And we just stuck to vertical jigging and drifting downriver. And one of the guys was using braid. The other two were using mono.
Sure.
The bites were that light where if you didn't have the braid, it made the difference literally twice as many fish.
On the braid?
That dramatic on the braid because you could feel them. They were just nudging it and not, and then you'd set the hook. And I mean, literally be on the outside of the lip, just on the lip itself or right at the chin because they were on it. And then they maybe trying to pin it, but they wouldn't pin it hard. And then you set the hook.
Oh, sure.
And
interesting.
You know, anything considered, you know, a bite is in that forward of the gill area. We did snag a lot of fish at that point because you were just swimming by it. But obviously, you let those go. That's an illegal catch. You can't keep anything that's foul hooked. But, you know, a lot of guys are running blade baits, and a lot of guys were anchored and doing Dubuque rigs or heavier jigs, and we were just not – they weren't producing at the same rate. So it was really one of those crazy fall bites. It's more different than – I mean – minnows have always worked, but normally I can do it with plastic and not have to worry about bringing live bait. But
well, I mean, this has got to be similar in all river systems this time of year because, I mean, the fish are running upstream. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't care if you're out on off of Lake Michigan and you got the salmon and what have you.
It can make it, yeah. And one of the things I will say, though, is it's the same thing that happens a lot of fisheries that I've fished. You have... Prime example, Red Craw crankbait, number five jointed shad wrap. For years, it was absolutely the dominant crankbait. You would pull that and you would catch fish probably four plus years in a row. What do? You load up the tackle box. You've got three bins worth of that because you don't want to lose them and be out.
Right.
Then all of a sudden that goes away. Then it goes to, purple decent, which is purple top, white belly with, I think it's a little orange underneath. Then that takes off, and the other one, because you run it side by side, and then time and time again, it gets outproduced. So transitions in fisheries do happen,
mm-hmm.
And it can transition back and forth, but interestingly enough, I think it's going to require maybe a little bit more playtime with finding the type of plastic that may be more effective. Black is good. Black with white tail, black or purple with green is always good, too.
Yeah, so check out the rivers.
Tell you what, we're going to be right back with Mr. Chris Granrud. We're going to talk a little bit about Rainy Lake, what's going on up north. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, Don, of course, we always like to invite people to check us out. And where do they want to check us out?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook.
Like us, please. I knew I'd catch her on that one. That's always good. Recovered quickly. Well, I always like to have you guys check us out there. And, of course, the DNR website is great on the Valley Outdoors website. You can pull up
any
just about
state.
Any state, yeah. Any state you want to go to, find out what's going on. Seasonalities. And any activities that are going on involving DNR or otherwise. So check that out. Speaking of guys in the know and people that we like to learn from in the outdoors, Mr. Chris Granrud from Rainy Days Guide Service. Chris, are you there?
I am here.
Hey,
can you hear me okay?
And we are here and we hear you loud and clear. Where are you exactly at this moment?
Well, I just came out of the woods, and I'm just sitting on my front porch on Rainy Lake.
And you're overlooking the beautiful Rainy Lake, right?
I am.
Yeah.
Sounds like a rough life.
Yeah, it's his
rough
house.
Life.
His, yeah, well, if you wouldn't want to necessarily have the life he has in summer, it gets a little bit hectic. I know that for a fact. Chris says Rainy Days Guide Service. You run, how many guides do you work with that work with you?
So we have 8 captains.
Wow, that's impressive. Very, very cool. And summer was good?
Yeah, it was a crazy year. Yeah, it was busy. The fish were biting, and it was a good year. So it's nice to get a little bit of a break now. We're kind of in the woods, but it was a phenomenal year.
So you're out doing a little grouse hunting?
Yeah, we're doing some grouse hunting and, you know, kind of cleaning up some trails and getting ready for deer hunting, you know, rifle opener. And, you know, it's a good time of year. I mean, honestly, fishing's still good. But there's birds to be shot and deer to be corralled. And
well,
it's a great
course,
time to be up north.
Yeah, exactly. You're up in International Falls. How's the leaves are pretty much done up there? Or are they still looking pretty good?
No, they're looking pretty good, actually, right now. You know, the colors are really bright. So it's kind of extended a little longer than I thought it would. I thought they were going to kind of shut down early. But it's really bright up here right now still.
Normally, this is the time when it gets really pretty that we get about a 60-mile-an-hour wind day, and
it's
it
gone.
Goes from, this is really great, to what just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, what
yeah. Exactly. So you said you're out doing a little grouse hunting. How's the grouse hunting up there right now? Decent?
Boy, it's the best grouse hunting that I've ever seen. There's a lot of grouse out there right now, so I don't know if they had a double hatch or what, but there is a lot of grouse out there right now, and I think everybody's doing pretty good, but there, every other corner seems like there's a grouse standing there.
Wow, that's awesome. And you had mentioned that you were doing some trail cam checking, and you had a unique vision on the camera. What did you see?
Yeah, so we hunt really off the grid, and I just checked cameras today, and I had a great big bull moose on one of my favorite deer stands. So it's a big animal. I'll tell you, you know, I've had them right within 20 feet of the camera there, so it's a pretty good shot of them, but boy, they're big animals.
So get back to the grouse for a second. So you're trail walking, right? And are you got a dog with you?
We do, yeah. Got an aging dog, I will mind you. He's going on 12 years old now. Blind, deaf, bad back. Other than that, she's a pretty good hunting dog.
Sounds like a pinball wizard, the deaf, dumb, and blind kid.
Yeah.
My
wife has goggles on her so she doesn't get her eyes poked when she's running through the woods.
Oh, you
like
got to send
companion.
Us a picture of that. That'll go on the website.
It's real classy.
That's fantastic. So when you're in that situation right now and you've got a lot of leaves in the trees, I've had a lot of guys ask, you know, okay, so how in the world are you able to see and are you able to shoot in those kind of conditions? And it's more of the guys that haven't necessarily shot grouse a lot, but you know, a lot of the guys are at that question. It's like, well, there's that many leaves in the trees. How can I tell what it is or where it's at? What's your go-to methodology in that side of the fence?
You know, I mean, try to walk into openings, you know, I mean, if your dog is birdie, you know, try to keep yourself in kind of an open spot. You know, a lot of times, you know, guys will kind of, you know, work their way through kind of real rough cover, you know, and they got to just kind of pick and choose, you know, their stop to, or, you know, spot to stop and give yourself some kind of swing room in there. But yeah, I mean, when you've got a lot of leaves, obviously it's a little bit more difficult, but, you know, if you've got somebody kind of on the trail and a dog kind of, you know, in the woods or what have you, you know, a lot of times someone will get a, you know, a decent shot at the bird.
As long as you have friends that are decent shots, right?
That's right. Yeah, there's no question about it. We've definitely shot our share of trees, too.
So
that's part of the sport, though. You have a lot of obstacles.
No, and that's exactly the case. So let's move on to the upcoming season. I know Don doesn't want me to push it, and I don't necessarily want to push it either. But, you know, in past years in spring, we've had record water levels with Rainy and that whole watershed district. And how's the water level been this last year? Has it been an average? Do they have leveled it out pretty much, or how's that looking?
Yeah, you know, if there is any kind of normal anymore, it seemed like it was a normal year up here, kind of average conditions and average water levels. You know, I think the river now is low coming out of Rainy Lake, you know, going flowing into Lake of the Woods. I think that's low. But the lake, we finally had one year where it wasn't flooding or was
yeah.
It was just an average year, you know, water level-wise, and the fishing was fantastic.
So when you move into the ice side of things, how many ice houses do you have?
You know, I've just got a few permanent houses, you know, and so what they are, they're just like small skid houses that I'm able to pull with my wide track sleds.
Yep.
And then I've got a variety of, you know, portable pop-ups, houses yep. that we fish out of. So I'll take some of those small hubs and kind of drop them in some nice structure that I like to fish. And then those real horrid days, you know, early in the year, you know, we'll kind of sit down in some of those houses there. But I still like to fish portable if I can. The nice thing about those houses is you don't have to plow a road to them. So I'm pulling them with my wide track sled. So once you plow a road, you've got a lot of people out there. So if you can keep yourself on a snowmobile, it seems like you've alleviated probably 98% of the traffic. So
is that when you stand out in the middle of the ice and you yell at all those people around you, don't you people have jobs?
Yeah, I think that's what they're probably asking me.
That's what I say when I go on the river and I see 45 boats in the middle of the week. I'm like, you know, I'm tired yeah. and I can't take it anymore. Don't you people have jobs? But
that's
I think everybody sure. says that. Of course, when the opening hunting seasons come along, and deer obviously takes a number of people off the fishing side of it as well. So, you know, it really becomes a multifaceted scenario. How late you guys hunting grouse up there? I mean, as far as when you transition to ice, obviously your priorities change, but how late do you generally?
Yeah, so we'll hunt grouse really till about a week before our rifle season up here. So the end of October, basically. Then we kind of get ourselves transitioned into getting ready for deer camp and all that kind of stuff. You know, our rifle season for deer is 2 weeks up here.
Yep.
And then after that, you know, usually we're processing deer, and then, you know, it's just showtime for us. So we're hitting a lot of sport shows and stuff like that. And then we're transitioning right into early ice. So this is kind of my playtime. Get to do pretty much whatever I want this time of year.
Well, I thought summer was your playtime too.
Well, summer, you know, I mean, everybody wants to be a fishing guide, you know.
No,
it's kind of like
not,
when I was
not
when
everybody,
I was
Chris.
No, yeah. Well, that's just because you're wise enough to know. So, like, when I was younger, I always wanted to own a resort. And then as I got older, I'm like, I don't want to own a resort. I want to go to a resort. That's what I want to do. And, you know, I mean, the same thing with a fishing guide as well. You know, I mean, it's work. Everything is work. I mean, you know, the good thing about that is that our worst days are, you know, on the water, you know, so it's,
yep.
I mean, you could have a lot worse places to be. So
you are absolutely correct. And of course, are you taking bookings for this winter already for ice? So you've been obviously starting to do some of that.
We are. Yep. Yeah, we are. We're taking bookings there. I'm pretty much full for the first part of the season there. So what I do is I fish walleyes and pike for the first part of the season. As you probably know, my yep. wife and I head down somewhere warm in the middle of the season, and then the end of the season we come back and we guide for crappies. And if it's anything like last year, I mean, we guided until I think it was April 29th for crappies. There was like 70 degree days we were out there. It was just an unbelievable long-lasting ice fishing season.
Those days are awesome, though, you got to admit. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. Well, Chris, you get back out in the woods tomorrow. Go get some more grouse. Have fun, and hope you don't encounter one of those big guys while you're up in the stand. That would be a negative.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Have a great day, Chris. Talk to you soon. And we'll be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello. I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
We'll be right back.
Don, you know, having Ava as a producer is entertainment at every turn.
Can be.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like, who's on first and what's on second?
Well, and a lot of it is, I just don't know how long it would take you guys to do the show if I wasn't here.
We'd be here a while.
You would be here a while. Or I'm the whip cracker.
Yes. Or we'd be done really fast.
Yeah.
No. You'd be here all morning.
We'd just... Oh.
And then you'd do the segment and you'd be like, oh, did we hit record? No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, and don't expect us to try and go back and correct anything. That would never happen. I think the audience would be entertained.
I feel so appreciated this show. I
certainly hope you
Thank
do.
Thank you.
I mean, you are. I mean, by us.
Yes.
Or whatever Don
Hopefully
says.
Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. We wanted to take a quick reminder. It's not a small thing either, Don. We were talking about it during the break, and we talked about it a little bit off air before that. South Dakota?
Opening pheasant this morning.
For
pheasants.
Non-residents?
For non-residents, yeah.
And
it's a big deal. I mean, I did it for probably 13 years running, and I've had a few years off now. I'm actually thinking about maybe heading back.
That'd be fun.
It would be. It's, again, one of the issues is lodging. But once you can wrap up lodging, there's plenty of places to hunt.
Yeah. I think one of the stats is that the number of people in the state triples during the South Dakota opening.
Yeah.
And it's for, it carries for quite a few, like a week or so, that population number remains. I mean,
that's at least for 5 days because it's a, I mean, most people come in early Friday morning.
Yep.
So you're there Friday night, so you can be ready to hit the field at noon.
Yeah.
The next morning. But the reality is you've got to be out there at about 4 a.m. if you want a spot to hunt on that opening weekend. So it's not like you can sleep till 11 and get up and go. No.
If you're on public land, yeah. That's
right. You know, well, if you're lucky enough to be on private
lodge,
land.
Then it's not an issue. You could be right out there before that. But yeah, so one of those things, but that is happening. Good luck to all you guys. Be safe. And Don, what do you make sure you do?
Keep blue below the barrel.
There you go. Just had to make sure you got it right this time.
Yep. Be safe.
Yes, exactly. Be safe. Story that came out of Western United States is an angler that earned over $100,000 catching invasive species this last summer. One angler finished the 2023 Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Program with plenty of dough in their bank account. According to Catch Data, the top angler in the program caught and removed 10,127 pike minnow, earning him a whopping, catch this, $101,520 in bounties.
You're talking northern pike minnows?
Northern pike minnow. It's a pike minnow is an invasive. It's not a northern pike. It's called a pike minnow.
And where are these at?
Oh, hang on.
Okay.
The next angler nearly reaches six figures at $98,000 for 9,700 fish. The Sport Reward Program is a yearly conservation bounty program, operates in the lower Columbia River. It's funded by the Bonneville Power Administration. They run the Bonneville Dam. The program runs each summer from May 1st to September 30th and dumps into it significant cash to hundreds of anglers removing the pike minnow. That species is known to prey on salmon and steelhead smolt. Critics of the program say removing a native species obfuscates the real problem, which is the BPA's dams along the lower Snake River. Okay, now, here's the thing. There's a dam there, and you're going to complain about removing the pike minnow that's in danger to the trout and salmon runs. And your anti-reward program, for what? Because the dam is there? That's not going to change. I guess that's just I have a conceptual problem with that. So regardless of where you stand, though, Don, the program hands down one of the best ways to earn money catching unwanted species. Get this. The program offers anglers $6 a fish for the first 25 9-inch plus fish. Okay? $6 a fish. From 25 to 200, each one is $8 a piece. 200 plus, they're $10 a piece. Specialty tagged fish gave anglers a chance to win from $200 to $500.
A fish?
Yeah. And especially tagged
fish. How are they catching these?
Hook and line.
Really?
The bounties were the same in 2022. Then when the BPA raised its rewards to the spur of the participation in the sport, the top angler in 2023 earned the second most ever of an angler in the program, lagging behind an unnamed angler who made $119,341 in 2016, catching, get this, 14,000 pike minnows. They don't really, the BPA doesn't release identities of these individuals.
Nine-inch fish are not minnows anymore, by the way.
No, they're not. In total, 11,900 anglers got 156,000 pike minnows last year. And it was close to the 32-year average of 160,000. And it was increased by more than 10%. And it was a solid year with some exceptionally good fishing and the window of opportunity for multiple anglers.
It's amazing. I mean, it's...
You could go out there and if you figured it out, you could...
14,000 of them he had to catch, though?
The one guy did for $116,000.
Just think how much fun...
Dollars.
Think how much fun he had.
Oh, my gosh.
Single hook?
Yeah.
You're going to go through a lot. I wonder what they bite on. You're going to go through a lot of bait.
You're going to make $116,000, yeah. And that's
you're
your only overhead.
You're
going to
spend a lot
shore.
On bait unless it's...
Yeah, you could do plastics. Speaking of plastics, I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's all good. It's all good. And so are we. We are done for the day, the evening, the morning, whatever time it is in your area. We're the Valley Outdoors for Ava, Don, and myself, Eric. We are out. Join us next week. It'll be great. See ya.